National HIV Testing Day is June 27, 2012. On June 26th, the Department of Health and Human Services hosted a webinar entitled HIV Testing for an AIDS-Free Generation.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's HIV Testing for an AIDS-Free Generation webinar. I'm Miguel Gomez, the director of AIDS.gov, and your facilitator for today's webinar. Today's session was planned to do three things. One, we want to provide you an overview on the state of HIV testing in the U.S. and globally. Two, we want to allow our stakeholders, federal staff, and grantees to talk with federal leadership about HIV testing for an AIDS-free generation. And we want to identify resources for HIV testing. Our lead speakers are going to be Dr. John O'Merman from the CDC, Dr. Caitlin Ryan from the Office of the Global AIDS Coordinator, PEPFAR, Mr. Richard Klein from the FDA, and closing us out will be Dr. Grant Colfax, who is the Director of the Office of National AIDS Policy at the White House. Due to the high number of people who registered for today's webinar, some of you may only have phone access, but if you want, you can follow today's slides at aids.gov/webinar. Later in today's call, we're going to be taking questions live, and we already received some questions from Twitter. Today, we'll also have some additional federal staff to help answer questions from the VA, from HUD, from SAMHSA, and HRSA. We have about approximately 1,500 registered sites around the U.S. for today's call. This call is for AIDS service providers and our federal staff. All are welcome. If you're from the media and you have questions, please direct your questions to the HHS press office. As you all know, tomorrow, June 27th, will mark the 18th observance of National HIV Testing Day, which was started by the National Association of People with AIDS. The theme is, take the test, take control. The CDC is the lead federal agency that guides federal support for National HIV Testing Day. And I want to let folks who follow Twitter to know that later at 3 p.m. today, there'll be a CDC Twitter chat called Silence, Stigma, and Shame. So go to Twitter to follow that. I also want to encourage everyone to view and share the new National HIV Testing Day video from AIDS.gov, which you can find on our webpage, about HIV testing resources. As we step back, we know we've heard from our national leadership who have spoke to the issue of an AIDS-free generation, from President Obama to Secretary Clinton to Secretary Sebelius. It's important that we all step back and look at where we are with HIV testing and where we're going so we can move towards that AIDS-free generation. And that conversation about HIV testing will continue in late July at the International AIDS Conference, AIDS 2012. But let's get started. I'm going to introduce our first speaker, and then each speaker is going to introduce the next. I really want to thank and welcome our colleague from the CDC, Dr. John O'Merman. He is the director of the Division of HIV-AIDS Prevention at the National Center of HIV-AIDS, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and TB Prevention. Dr. O'Merman, can you start us off?
Yes, well, good afternoon, Miguel. It's very appropriate on National HIV Testing Day that we have some of the distinguished speakers on the phone representing agencies that aren't just involved in testing but also treatment, care, diagnostics, and pharmaceutical agents related to HIV because testing is the starting point for both prevention and care for people with HIV. And it really, testing and diagnosis both are involved in prevention and care. And on the first slide, you can see that we've just done some new analyses of national data, which indicate that that there are about 82% of the people living with HIV in the nation know that they have HIV. They've been diagnosed. And about 18% of people don't yet know that they have HIV. Those 18% are associated with about 50% of sexual transmission because they both don't know that they have HIV, and when people with HIV find out that they have the infection, they reduce their risk behavior that could be associated with transmitting the virus to others, but also they get access to HIV-specific care and treatment. And recent information indicates from a randomized study that antiretroviral therapy reduces the risk of transmission by about 96%. So good treatment is good prevention. And good behavioral prevention linked into the care setting can be very effective. The next slide shows the continuum of HIV care. And here you can see how testing really is the starting point of helping people with HIV live longer, healthier lives. We have about 1.1 or a little bit over 1.1 million people living with HIV in the nation. About, 82% of those folks know that they have HIV. But you can see there's a drop-off as we go down the continuum of care. Only a proportion of those people have been linked to ongoing care services. A fairly large proportion of people with HIV who have seen a doctor about their HIV at one point end up falling out of care for a variety of reasons. Only a proportion of those who do stay in care are actually actively taking antiretroviral therapy. And then ultimately, the single common goal related to treatment and prevention is for people with HIV to have a suppressed viral load. In other words, the amount of virus in their blood is at the lowest level possible. And in that whole continuum, you can see only about 28% of people with HIV in the nation actually have a suppressed viral load. So we have a long way to go to improve on that number, but we can see all the different places within this continuum where improved service efforts could also improve both survival and prevention for people living with HIV in the nation. The next slide shows that we're seeing remarkable improvement in some aspects of diagnosing people with HIV, but also we can see a lot of work in our future. If we look at the proportion of people who are diagnosed with HIV who either are diagnosed concurrently with AIDS or have an AIDS diagnosis within a year, in other words, they've been diagnosed too late for treatment to be as fully effective as it could be when they start treatment earlier, you can see that proportion is getting lower and lower. So in 1996, about 43% of people diagnosed with HIV were diagnosed with AIDS within the first year following their diagnosis. And in 2009, that was down to 32%. So we're doing better, but we haven't achieved what ideally would be much lower proportion of people, because ideally we'd like everyone to be diagnosed very close to the time that they were infected. Part of this reason is that not everyone who is at risk for HIV or has HIV has been tested for HIV. So in 2009, only about 40% of all adults had ever been tested for HIV. But in addition, people at high risk for HIV aren't being tested frequently enough. And CDC recommends in our guidance for routine screening in clinical settings that everyone between the ages of 13 and 64 who are in hospital populations where the undiagnosed rate is about 0.1% or greater receive an HIV test at least once, and that people at increased risk, such as MSM, people who've had STDs, people who have multiple sexual partners, they should be tested at least once a year, if not more frequently. And so both getting more Americans tested and getting those people at higher risk tested more frequently are major goals for all of the different agencies within the Department of Health and Human Services. In the last slide that I have, I wanted to highlight that there's been a great deal of progress regarding the ability of tests to actually diagnose HIV close to the time of infection. Can you switch the slide to the next slide, please? Thanks. So here you can see on the left is that at time zero is when we imagine people are infected, and you can see in these different lines what's happening within people's bodies that can be that can detect that infection. So the first is you have HIV RNA, or essentially virus, reproducing in your body. That's the pink line. And that really peaks at about 30 days following infection, but can be detected with with very sensitive tests within 10 days from infection, if not sometimes sooner. The next is what's called HIVP24 antigen. It's a test that looks at a part of HIV. And then the yellow line is HIV antibody, which is our body's response to getting infected with HIV. And if you can press the slide forward, we'll get something on the bottom. The first generation of tests, you can see, started to be able to diagnose people about 60 days following infection. And that's why our initial recommendations were always that people should get another test if they've had recent sexual behavior, even if they have a negative test at that point, because it might not have really produced enough antibody to be able to be detected. If you can press again the next slide. You'll see the second generation test improved on that. Next slide. Can you press the button again, please? Right, and so, and exactly. So you'll see on the third generation test, greatly improved the sensitivity of the test to diagnose people close to the time of infection. And now with the current fourth generation tests, which are increasingly being recommended, we can actually diagnose people very close to the time that virus is actually detectable in their body, generally within 5 days. And that increasing sensitivity of tests means that we'll be able to diagnose people at the time when they are both most likely to be infectious and not give people a false negative result. So the technology of testing is improved. The frequency of testing is improving. More Americans are getting tested, but there's also a lot of work to be done. I think National HIV Testing Day is an important time for us to reflect that even though we've had progress, it is important to achieve the goals of the National HIV AIDS Strategy and ultimately to reverse the HIV epidemic, that we focus on this very important nexus between prevention and care, and that's HIV testing.
Sir, thank you so very much. We're going to turn to Dr. Carolyn Ryan, who is the Director of Technical Leadership at the Office of the Global AIDS Coordinator at PEPFAR. She will talk about how HIV testing is part of the response to the global epidemic. Dr. Ryan?
Thank you, Miguel, and thank you to the organizers for inviting me. I'm happy to have this opportunity to briefly discuss what PEPFAR is doing internationally in HIV testing and counseling programs. An estimated 33 million people worldwide are living with HIV/AIDS, and yet it is estimated that less than 20% of them know they are HIV positive. Services to help individuals, couples, and families learn their HIV status is a cornerstone to the provision of HIV prevention, treatment, and care, and is essential to achieving an HIV-free generation. Next slide, please. The overarching goal of PEPFAR's HIV testing and counseling programs is to provide services for individuals, couples and partners, and families to learn their HIV status, with particular emphasis on identifying HIV-infected individuals and HIV serodiscordant couples. The second goal is to implement strategies for ensuring that these individuals, couples, and families are linked with the appropriate follow-up for HIV treatment, care and support, or prevention services based on their HIV serostatus. Next slide. We have two approaches to testing and counseling. The first is looking at who initiates the request or provider-initiated counseling and testing. And that occurs through a healthcare provider as a standard component of medical care. The second is through client-initiated counseling and testing, which occurs through actively seeking testing by a client in settings where these services are available. Next slide. The second approach is looking at place. Testing and counseling is feasible and works in a wide variety of settings. In clinical settings such as ANC clinics, TB clinics, at voluntary medical male circumcision settings, or in non-clinical and community-based settings such as home-based testing and counseling via an index patient or door-to-door, mobile or outreach, or standalone voluntary counseling and testing sites. Next slide. PEPFAR sponsors a wide range of activities, including support for testing and counseling sites, training, country and program assessment, test kit procurement, testing promotion, quality assurance, and monitoring and evaluation. The following examples illustrate how PEPFAR works in partnership with countries to support HIV testing and counseling. In Kenya, mobile testing and counseling is being expanded throughout the country to the general population and youth, as well as to special populations, including nomads. In Uganda, community health care workers are being trained to visit the homes and offer home-based HIV testing and counseling services to household members. The program then links the HIV-positive family members to treatment and care programs and delivers prevention interventions to HIV-discordant couples. In India, PEPFAR supports outreach activities to encourage testing and counseling for key risk populations, such as sex workers, injecting drug users, and men who have sex with men. And in Nigeria, testing and counseling in ANC sites has rapidly been scaled up by trained nurses and lay workers who provide testing for family and patients in medical wards. Next slide, please. As of December 11, 2011, PEPFAR has supported HIV counseling and testing for 149 million people. Testing in Kenya, Ethiopia, and South Africa accounts for over 40% of this number. In 2011, over 40 million people were tested and received their results. Next slide. Several challenges remain. Strengthening linkages to other services, quality assurance and quality improvement, task shifting where lower cadre health personnel and lay personnel can administer rapid tests, and maintaining adequate supplies of test kits. Guaranteeing adequate supplies is not just a question of funds, but of adequate systems for forecasting and supply chain management. Thank you. At this time, I would like to welcome our next speaker, Mr. Richard Klein. Mr. Klein is from the FDA, where he directs the Patient Liaison Program, Office of Special Health Issues. He will talk about home testing and FDA approval.
Thank you, Dr. Ryan, and good afternoon to everyone. I want to speak briefly about home testing for HIV. Until 1996, the only way to get tested for HIV in the United States was under a doctor's supervision. Right now, there is just one FDA-approved home collection test system. This test, sold as either the Home Access HIV-1 test system or Home Access Express HIV-1 test system. It allows people to take a small blood sample at home using a tiny finger stick and send it to a laboratory for testing. A positive test result is confirmed at the lab with a second Western blot confirmatory test using the same sample. This test is as reliable as going to a doctor or a clinic for an HIV antibody test. It offers privacy and confidentiality for people who might feel uncomfortable going to a healthcare facility for testing. The test is anonymous. Results are obtained in about a week by telephone, along with counseling and medical referral if needed, using a code number that's provided with the kit. And this kit costs about $45. Quicker results are available using the Home Access Express kit with a one-day turnaround at the laboratory. This kit costs about $60, and it's exactly the same kit, but it comes with an express mailing envelope and quicker processing. The test is available without a prescription, either through retail pharmacies or can be purchased online through homeaccess.com. Right now, FDA is considering a new over-the-counter rapid home test use kit that would give users the test result at home after about 20 minutes. The test uses an oral swab to take a sample of oral fluid, which is tested with the included test kit. Last month, FDA consulted with its Blood Products Advisory Committee, or BPAC, to address questions about the safety, efficacy, and accuracy of the test. While this test kit also offers privacy and confidentiality of testing at home, a presumptive positive result means that a second confirmatory test should be done through a doctor's office or at a clinic. Data that was presented at the advisory committee meeting suggested that the test may not be as sensitive as being tested at a clinic, but FDA determined through extensive risk-benefit analysis based on computer modeling that the test can have a positive public health value, since people who might not otherwise be tested may choose to use this test. Identifying people with infections will ultimately bring more people into treatment, help change behavior, and reduce the number of new infections. The test is still under review at FDA, and a decision is pending. These tests detect the presence of antibodies to HIV produced by the body. Exactly when and how fast those antibodies develop varies from one person to another. Some people might take up to 3 months to develop a detectable antibody. So in any HIV testing, it's important to remember that there is a window period when a person might be infected but might not yet have developed levels of antibodies that can be detected. So please take into consideration that during the window period, someone can test negative yet still have an active infection and be able to pass along the virus to others.
I very much would like to close the call and thank everyone for their time and energy this afternoon as we continue to support National HIV Testing Day and help move towards an AIDS-free generation. Thanks, everyone. Take care.